Now, back in January, I attended a men's breakfast. It was at Paul and Mel's house, and something happened at that breakfast which planted a memory in my mind, it, besides the incredible food that was there. I don't know whether Paul cooked it or you cooked it, but it was really, really good, and I do remember that. But Paul Currer brought a word, and it was an example of an encounter at a well. And the story he told was about Hagar. And, things were not good. There was tension between Hagar and Sarah, who was Abraham's wife. And so, you know, she had to kind of run away. And as she sat down by this well, she had an encounter with God through an angel. And this angel and God spoke life to Hagar. And Hagar's response was really lovely. You find it in Genesis 16, 13. And it says, "And Hagar gave this name to the Lord who had spoken to her. You are the God who sees me. You are the God who sees me." For she said, "Here I have seen the one who sees me." It's lovely. Elroy, the God who sees me. And in fact, you know, after this experience, Hagar actually names the well Beer Lahai Roy. I'm sorry if I haven't got the pronunciation right. Beer Lahai Roy, the well of the living one who sees me. Beautiful. Now, why this story particularly struck me at the time is because God has been speaking to me throughout the week through various devotionals about God seeing me or God seeing you. And it was through the story of Nathanael, which we read in John chapter 1, verses 43 to 50. So, if we could turn to that. I'll read this to you. John 1, 43 to 50. "The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. And Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We've found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' 'Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?' Nathanael asked. 'Come and see,' said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, 'Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.' 'How do you know me?' Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, 'I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you.' And then Nathanael declared, 'Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.' Jesus said, 'You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree, and you will see greater things than that.' He then added, 'Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.'" Amen. Now, before I get too deep into this story, I just want to make the point that in the same way that wells throughout Scripture are often times when people encountered God through difficult times, and I've just read one that was Hagar, it was also Rebecca, Rachel, Zipporah, the woman of Samaria. You know, these are all accounts of meeting God at a well. Likewise, there are several accounts in Scripture of people encountering God sat under a tree. Okay, there is Elijah, Jonah. Now, there's a prophet who spoke out against King Jeroboam. In all of these cases, you know, these people were dealing with some difficult situations, and God comes along and meets them. And our story of Nathanael is no exception. So this morning, I want us to look at all three main characters in this story. Firstly, Nathanael, the cynic, question mark. So I'm just kind of posing, is Nathanael a bit of a cynic here? There's Philip, the encourager, and Jesus, the Word of God. So let's have a look. Nathanael. He was sitting under a fig tree. He was most likely reading or meditating on scripture. This is quite common place in those days. And along comes Philip, his friend, and he announces to Nathanael, "We've found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David." To which Nathanael replies, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Now this response makes me wonder if Nathanael was being rather cynical. And it's a question, it's not an assertion, I'm just posing this as a question. Because if you look up the Cambridge Dictionary definition of cynicism, it says not trusting or respecting the goodness of other people and their actions, but believing that people are interested only in themselves. Now, is this what's going on here? Now, to try and understand, we need to pause for a moment and appreciate why Nathanael is responding in the way he is, because there are two main schools of thought here. Firstly, the Judeans, which were southern Israel, they viewed the Galileans with contempt. It's because there were lots of foreigners living in the land where they were, and that's because of all the many conflicts they had with the northern kingdoms. They had a peculiar accent. I don't know, maybe it was like a Geordie Hebrew. What? No, that's a bit poor attempt at a Geordie accent. I'll give up there. They were often lax in obeying certain rituals. And so the Judeans, they were prejudiced against the Galileans. How possibly could a prophet come from such a place? That's one school of thought. Another school of thought is maybe that it's just more of a cultural school of thought. Nazareth, well, it was just a small, seemingly unimportant place. It'd never been mentioned at all in the Old Testament. So why on earth would something very spiritually significant happen in Nazareth? Why would it? So you can start to see, you know, what's going on here. And Nathanael wasn't the only person who thought this way. If you read a little bit further in John, it says this in John 7:41-42. And there's an argument taking place about who the Messiah is and where he would come from. How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? So ultimately, whatever the reason, Nathanael simply writes off any possibility that Jesus could be the Messiah. That's what's going through his head. How possibly could this be? And for reasons that will come apparent later, I suspect Nathanael was sitting under this fig tree and he was longing. He was longing to see the Messiah. Most of the Jews at that time were longing to see the Messiah come in power. He was possibly meditating on the story of Jacob's ladder, which is why it gets mentioned, possibly. And he's probably thinking about the incredible promises that God had made to the children of Israel, about the wonderful way that the Israel was going to prosper and the blessings that God was going to pour out. And yet, here he is, sat under this tree, and he's looking around him, and all he can see is suffering, poverty, Roman rule. This is nothing at all like what God has promised. You know, what's going on here? And somebody comes along and says, you know, the prophet is going to come from Nazareth. And poor Nathanael, he just dismisses this claim from Philip. I just can't see it. No way. How can that be? Now, is that cynicism? I don't know. Maybe it's skepticism. Just logically, this doesn't make sense to him. If we're really generous, maybe he's just being very cautious. Maybe he's been burnt before by people bringing a word and it's just not being true. And he's just being careful. But listen to this. Whatever is going on in the mind of Nathanael, there's a big chance he's going to miss the most important moment in his life when Jesus calls him. because of the way things are going in his mind, he can miss it. And I want to ask us all a question. How quick am I to dismiss something that maybe God is doing or outworking in our lives and in our circumstances? Who's familiar with the phrase, God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform? The very fact that you're able to recite that. It's a well-known phrase, isn't it? God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And yet, when some of those mysterious ways find their way in our life, we struggle with them. How could this possibly be God's will? We think to ourselves. How can this possibly work under these circumstances? This isn't scriptural. The example here being Messiah comes from Bethlehem, not Nazareth. I'm sorry, I'm just not bought into this at all. Because our mind just can't get around these, in quotes, mysterious ways that sometimes God works in. We need to be careful here, because Nathanael was not a bad person. Just because he was having these negative thoughts, he wasn't a bad person. The first thing Jesus says to Nathanael, about Nathanael, is that he was an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. I wonder, would Jesus say that about you and me? Nathanael was a good man, but he was struggling. He was struggling. He's about to receive the most important invitation he's ever going to have in his life from Jesus to become a disciple. There could be nothing more important than that. In this moment, is he going to miss it? Because of what he was thinking. Because of his doubts, his cynicism, his skepticism, his caution. Is he going to miss it? Well, praise God for Philip. Philip, the encourager. How did Philip respond to Nathanael's cynicism? Oh, here we go again. Negative Nate. He never has anything positive to say. I honestly just don't know why I bother telling you anything. You always respond like this. It's interesting, this, actually, because God's been speaking to me over several weeks. Maybe he's been speaking to you because, you know, we've been in the same environment. God's been speaking a lot about mercy. Have you noticed that in recent weeks? A lot about mercy. You know, there's one vulnerability I have. I have lots of vulnerabilities. There's one vulnerability in particular I have. And this is dealing with stroppy people. When people come to me in a really rotten, bad attitude and grumpy and, you know, not with in reason or humility or, you know, at least just whatever, if they come in with me stroppy, I just struggle with that. And they're likely to kind of maybe stroppy back, and I'm really sorry, it's not right. But, stroppiness and bad attitude just brings out that bit of flesh in me to respond in a bad way. For sure, it's not showing mercy, is it? When somebody comes and they're struggling and they've been stroppy and bad with me, just maybe God wants me to show a little bit of mercy, understanding and patience. So there we go. Disclose my vulnerability. You can kick me out later, but that's how it is. You know, Philip could have been like that as well, couldn't he? But even though Nathanael had written off the possibility that Jesus could be the Messiah, Philip didn't write him off. Philip didn't write Nathanael off. And what does he say? He says, come and see. Notice he didn't say, go and see for yourself. See that? Big difference. He said, come and see. Come and see. I'll come with you. You know, you can argue with somebody till they're blue in the face and you just won't get through. Sometimes you just have to travel with someone who is struggling to come to terms with something. You know, I'll share a little testimony. When I used to work at Hewlett Packard and I was managing a team, there was a guy in my team who had all sorts of struggles. He often didn't get on with people. He had some very, very significant personal issues within his family at home. He also suffered generally with low self-esteem. However, I found that when I would take time and sit down with him and talk about my life and talk about my faith and talk about Jesus, he showed a lot of interest. And so this carried on. And to cut a long story short, I was sat in coffee number one, as you do. And I was with this man. And I said, look, would you like to give your life to Jesus? And he said, yes. And I prayed with him. In coffee number one, we prayed a prayer together and he gave his life to Jesus. You know, and I have helped him since that moment. I've helped him, you know, in terms of his work and his interactions with team colleagues. I helped him and encouraged him and gave him advice in terms of his family. And I encouraged him to join a local church. And I met up with him a couple of weeks ago because he is about to move from Bristol and he's going to go up to the Lake District to go live nearby one of his family members. One of the family members, incidentally, that he had the greatest problem with, where there'd been a massive monumental breakdown in relationship. And now here he is, moving up north to go live with them. And what he said to me when I met him a couple of weeks ago, he thanked me for being with him throughout the entire journey. He said to me, you know, I could not have done this without you. Now, I'm not saying this to blow my own trumpet and say, look at me, look at me. I'm sharing this to make a point that sometimes you have to travel with someone. You have to walk with someone. You have to go with them and hold their hand and encourage them and be strong for them, in order for them to get to where they need to get to. Let's get back to our story of Nathaniel. I wonder what would have happened if Philip had given up on Nathaniel. He's about to be called to be one of the 12 disciples. You know, what if Philip had just given up in exasperation? But he didn't give up. Philip didn't give up on Nathaniel. He said, come and see, let's go together. So I want to ask you another question. Who has helped you? Who has helped you to get to where you are today and to become the kind of person you are today? Who's been your Philip or Philippa? So I'm not sexist, okay? Who's been your Philip or Philippa? Who's been the person who stood with you and encouraged you and brought the word of God and challenged you and done all the things that have needed to be done with you and for you in order for you to grow to be where you are today? Or another question, who have you been a Philip to? Who have you walked with? Who have you encouraged? Who have you challenged? Who have you walked with night and day through ups and downs and thick and thin? Who have you been a Philip to? We should note here that encouragement is a partnership. As well as someone encouraging you, we need to respond positively to encouragement. You know, when someone's trying to help you, don't push them away. Who's done that, honestly? When someone's trying to help you and you just don't want help and you push them away, or you pay lip service, you know, thank you very much. That's a waste of time, wasn't it? You know, under your breath. We've all been there, haven't we? We know how we respond in these kinds of situations. But encouragement is a partnership. As well as a person giving encouragement, we need to honestly and humbly receive encouragement. So what happens next? Wow, Jesus. Ultimately, it's really the encounter with Jesus that made the difference to how Nathanael responds to his call. The first thing that Jesus says to Nathanael is this: here is a man in whom there is no deceit. Now, if we think that Nathanael reacted the way he did because he was a bad man, he was awkward, he's argumentative and bad attitude and all this, Jesus' words clearly show us that this is not the case. This is Jesus speaking. He's a man in whom there's no deceit. And in fact, if Nathanael really, really was a bad man, you could imagine him responding to Jesus saying something like, "What right have you got to say that about me? You don't know anything about me. How dare you?" Ever responded like that to someone who's trying to help you, thinking, "What right have you got to speak like that to me? Huh. I speak so easily, don't you? It's just so natural that I can respond like this." But we've all done it, haven't we? Come on, let's be honest. This is where we have to kind of dig deep a little bit in this story. I'm always trying to encourage people to use your imagination. We did a little bit in our worship. Use your imagination. Maybe for Nathanael, this is a really deep cry of the heart for someone just to recognize and acknowledge what he's feeling. This mismatch between what God's word says and all his promises and what I'm actually experiencing in my real life, and I'm looking around, sat under this tree, and it's a mess, and I'm really struggling. Why won't somebody just acknowledge that and help me and notice me? Maybe it's just a cry like that for someone just to be honest. And in this moment when Nathanael is feeling what he's feeling, Jesus comes along and he says to Nathanael, "I saw you." I just love those three words. Those three words are the story. I saw you. And I don't think this is a literal statement in the sense that, you know, Jesus is just across the road and he saw him sitting under the tree. No, Jesus saw him. He saw him in his spirit, and he was moved by God to go and meet Nathanael, just like Jesus went to meet so many people prompted by the Holy Spirit. Jesus' reference to Jacob's ladder possibly was kind of a word of knowledge to encourage Nathanael that God's promise would still come to fruition. That, you know, he would see the burden of his heart, you know, happen, and he would start to see God's blessings. "I saw you. I saw you." I don't think Nathanael was trying to be deliberately awkward. He was simply trying to find a way forward in a situation that just seemed so hopeless. He needed help, and Jesus comes along and he said, "I saw you." You know, God sees each one of us. God sees you. He sees you. He sees every bit of circumstance of you, and he sees your hurts. He sees our pains. He sees our fears. He sees our doubts. And he wants to speak truth and life to you to help you in your situation. And whatever you're facing this morning, whatever's going on in your life right now, no matter how confused you might feel with what's going on, "I just can't make sense of this, Lord," Jesus is saying to you, "I see you. I really see you." You know, sometimes just knowing someone sees you, or knowing that God sees you, can make all the difference. I remember many, many years ago, I just kind of getting into the kind of the charismatic kind of stuff in church. My background is Brethren, but I was in this charismatic church. I was being encouraged to move in the Spirit, and we were encouraged to have a word for somebody. And so, in the middle of the worship, suddenly I had this image of a person's face. In fact, it wasn't just their face. I had this picture of a person's eye. That's all I saw. It was an eye. But you know, I knew who this person was. I absolutely knew who this person was. And then during the worship, in an appropriate moment, I went up to this person. It was pretty scary. I went to this person and said, I saw your eye. And it's bonkers, isn't it? But this is what I did. I saw your eye, and I knew it was you. And that's all I said. And this person, she said to me, says, that is just so amazing. I felt so low this morning, and I was just desperate for God to encourage me in the meeting. Just the very fact you brought this word has made all the difference. You know what? I saw her. Do you get what I'm saying? I saw her. Not across the aisle. I saw her in my heart and in my spirit. And I brought a word of encouragement. So I'm not suggesting here that we'll get weird now and start going to say weird words to each other. But, you know, we can all encourage each other with the word of God. Who here has ever had someone come to you and they said to you, you know, you've been on my heart recently. Somebody ever said that to you? You've been on my heart recently. Or maybe, I was praying for you the other day. What that means is, I saw you. I saw you. We can bring a word of encouragement to one another. So let me wrap this up. I want us to think, who are you in this story today? Three main characters. Who are you? And you could be one, two, or all three of these characters in the story. Maybe you think, well, I'm not in this story. Maybe it's your first or second time in church. You don't really have, you know much about Jesus. You wonder what on earth all this is about. Well, actually, that makes you very much part of this story. And I want to encourage you, don't close your heart to what might be happening inside of you right now. Don't dismiss it. Don't miss out. If you want to know more about what it means to be a disciple, for Jesus to say, I see you, come and follow me. If you want to know more about what that means and what you need to do, then come and talk to somebody, talk to a friend, or come talk to me. We can help you. Perhaps you are going through some difficult times. You can't make sense of what's happening in your life and in your circumstances. Nobody's paying attention to you, and you're suffering. You feel like you're suffering on your own, and you're suffering in silence. Maybe, even in this context, the well. Maybe you're feeling things are strange. It's not like it used to be, and I'm really struggling, and I don't know what to do. Well, then let someone walk with you. Don't suffer in these circumstances on your own. Let somebody in. Let them walk with you. Don't push them away. Don't have a closed mind. Or maybe you have a friend, a loved one, a colleague at work, a member of your family, and they're struggling. Well, come alongside them. Be a Philip or a Philippa to them. Be that person that's going to walk with them and take them to Jesus. Jesus said we would do greater things than he did. Maybe God has given you a word for someone. Put something in your heart. He's stirred you to pray. Then do something with that word. Go up to that person and say, God has said this to me about you. Or I have this scripture for you. I've been praying for you, and this is what God has laid on my heart. Bring somebody. Be that person. Be Jesus. Be Philip. If you're a Nathaniel, allow someone in. Let's pray, shall we? And I'll hand back to Sue. If there's somebody here for which this is also new, and you know you feel that something's going on in your heart, that Jesus is trying to call you, then I'm just going to pray a prayer. And you, if you feel you want to, you just pray silently that prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you see me. I thank you that you know everything about me. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are calling me today. And Jesus, I want to receive your calling. I want to receive you into my life today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer with me, if that was your situation, then talk to somebody. Please talk to somebody after the meeting. I just want to pray now for the rest of us and then hand over to Sue. Father, I just thank you for this incredible story of Nathaniel. Lord, I just pray that whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, no matter whatever challenge, no whatever disappointment, whatever confusion, Lord, help us to remember that you see us. You always see us. We are never out of your sight. We are never out of your reach. And we are never out of your love. And we are never out of your purpose. Father, help us to trust in you, Lord, I pray. Lord, bring people alongside us. And Lord, when people come alongside us, Lord, give us a heart, Father, to receive the encouragement. Help me, Lord, to notice people. Give me, Lord, eyes to see those who need a help, those who need a word of encouragement. Help me, Lord, to be that Philip to those around me. In Jesus' name, amen.